Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. We got a full moon. It's called a pink moon coming in on April Fool's Day. Hank Vogler checking in. No fooling here. Hank Vogler checking in from White Pine County, Nevada. I'm really going to have to learn at least one other language so I can say, senor, good morning, senor, something like that in another language.
Sa xiao hao.
I don't want to know Chinese.
Oh. Wie geht es mit Ihnen, mein Herr? Was ist los? Guten Morgen.
Oh, that might work. What's that?
That's German.
Oh, yeah.
There's several dialects of German. That's the one that about all the German we ever got when we were kids was how to cuss, and of course the neighbor lady's anatomy. We were grandpa and his hired man George Hoffman used to have their own little conferences.
So I think we should all be a little more versed in how exactly what the details are of family members arriving in the U.S. from whatever country you came from. We had a brief discussion about the Voglers leaving Germany to come here in the 1880s.
I assume that was because I believe Grandpa was the oldest or whatever, and he was a grown man when he got here. But my grandpa was born in 1892, I believe, or maybe it's 1891. I was a little kid then. I can't remember that far back.
But, I mean, I wanted to put this into context that we lapse into every discussion about intrusion of government, and it's never we the people like it's supposed to be. And if you just study world history, it's never been we the people in any country, which why, I mean, obviously was to set us as United States citizens apart. This is the role of government. Government consumes the liberty of people.
Well, power is quite an elixir. I mean, you get to sit in the front row, you get to tell other people what to do, and et cetera, et cetera. And nobody, once they get a hold of it, wants to relinquish it. It's just, it's more valuable than money. Of course, money and power kind of run in parallel. So all of these things, all these favors, everything comes along with, did I ever tell you how important I am? So
what was the peril that chased the Voglers out of Germany?
They were on this is the legend. I was pretty young then. The consolidation of the different principalities was an ongoing war in a way, or internal, maybe a civil war, but they were consolidating, and the Voglers were farmers, and the boys were all out in the field working, and they came back to house and everybody was dead. So they kind of got boogied out of there, and George got here first to New York, and he sent the money back for Henry, and Henry was in a poker game on board ship in New York Harbor, ready to dock or unload or whatever. This is the legend. I wasn't there. And he accused somebody in this poker game of cheating, so they threw him overboard. So no luggage, no nothing, just the wet clothes on his back, swam to shore, ran into an Irish cop who, for whatever reason, knew George. So he took him to him, and then I never did figure out what kind of work they were in, but anyhow, the rescue was there. And the next thing you know, he was walking down the street somewhere where there was an opera house, and the next door neighbor's daughter was singing, and they had escaped to Brazil. They also were on the wrong side of the deal. And so they got back together or whatever, ignited a love, and they got married, and my grandfather was born, Henry Jr. And he had asthma. So the doctor said, if you want this child to live, you better get to a drier climate. So they went to Eastern Washington and homesteaded and started raising wheat. And he married the Chickasaw squaw that lived next door, who had been forced out of Oklahoma. So, yeah. And in 1917, that had to be pretty controversial, you know. But that's supposedly how it all started.
Okay, so there's several interesting things there. What would you guess the population? I cheated. I didn't know this. I looked it up. What do you suppose the population of New York City would have been in 1890?
Oh, maybe a million.
Yeah, 1.5 million. I find that fascinating. How can New York City be that populated already by 1890?
Well, they had water all around. Water ran into New York Harbor, the Hudson and all of those. They had pretty well figured out water power to run grist mills and all kinds of different stamp mills and everything with water power. A harbor, a deep water harbor, good fertile land in the area, because gee whiz, that million people had to have something to eat. Even then, you know, all the things that were there, and it was a free ice port or whatever. It didn't freeze in the winter like a lot of the northern European places. It was used to be called New Holland or New Netherland or something like that before it was New York. So it had been settled by
Amsterdam, wasn't it?
Yeah, there you go. I knew it had something to do with the Netherlands. But anyhow, yeah, it was probably, if you made the arc to come from Europe, it was probably the best port that you could park at coming down the coast, because they didn't come straight across, I don't think. I think they kind of took an arc. Well, that's what happened to the Titanic. It ran into an iceberg. That was pretty far north. So, but I'm sure it had a lot to do with farming at that time in New York and being able to feed the population.
Well, I actually have studied New York meatpacking industry pre-1900. And in the 1880s, there were over 80 families in New York City and comprised what was called the meatpacking district. And I know that in Chicago in 1900, 20% of the total population worked in the meatpacking district of Chicago. But back to New York, I'm going to put you always get these answers so right, it's ridiculous. In the 1880s, with 85 families involved in the meatpacking industry, what do you think the meatpacking industry's number one complaint was?
Labor.
The big four have too much of a monopoly.
Well, okay. Yeah. That one or the other it had to be. But yeah, where the United Nations is was the headquarters for Swift and Company, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the heart of the meatpacking district right there.
And what was it? Upton Sinclair wrote the
jungle
book about the meatpacking business and how...
The jungle.
Huh?
The jungle.
Yeah. The green, yeah.
And so, there's another interesting part of that. Upton Sinclair... who ultimately his book led to a lot of labor laws that you're probably dealing with today, but he really didn't write that to improve the labor conditions. He was a strict vegan. He was one of the first animal rights, him and Helen White, founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, were two of the most noted vegan animal rights individuals of that era. And he wrote this book to pull people away from meat consumption. And 10 years later, I think it was 1918, about Spanish flu time, his doctor told him that you are too weak to survive. You are going to die if you do not start eating meat. And that's left out of the equation. It was meat consumption that was at the core of every bit of that. And some things, they just never change. They just come in different colors, shapes, and sizes. It's Rural Route, Hank Vogler, Trent Lewis. We just don't do enough historical perspective on this program, I don't believe. We continue to do more. And what's going on at Hank's place now? When we get back with more Rural Route after this. Right out of the chute today, we'll talk about energy-free waters from Pride of the Farm. Get more details on the website. Once you have one of these, you'll be, man, I wish I would have gone here a long time ago. That's why in 20 years now, we've got 17 of them and probably could use about two more. Energy-free waters from Pride of the Farm set the standard. The flap trap just works amazing. Cattle. I do have a couple horses that haven't figured out how to lift that lid up yet, but pigs and sheep and cattle and goats, everything we've had on it just absolutely works fantastic. Keep the nature inside. That's what you want. Prideofthefarm.com for the energy-free water.